President Biden and other world leaders opened the G7 meeting in England today. The focus during the first day of the three-day meeting is rebuilding economies damaged by the pandemic. As part of that, a commitment to share at least 1 billion coronavirus vaccine doses with struggling countries around the world. President Biden yesterday pledged 500 million doses from the U.S. alone. NPR's Frank Langfitt is in Cornwall. And Frank, why don't you tell me more about what the G7 leaders are discussing there today?
Yeah, I think what they want, Peter, is they want to rebuild basically a fair economy coming out of this pandemic. There are already huge inequalities heading into it, and as we all know, it exacerbated those in the United States, in the United Kingdom, and globally. And this is what British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said this morning. This is how he put it.
It's a relationship that has endured for a very long time and has been an important part of peace and prosperity, both in Europe and around the world.
That was actually Boris Johnson talking a little bit about the relationship with the United States and Joe Biden. But what he said earlier today was they don't want to make the same mistakes they made after the global financial crisis. And that was not to make sure that, you know, after everybody suffered, that people got a lot of help and they were able to recover.
How's the vaccine donation program going to work?
I think what's going to happen, Peter, is the United States is going to fund doses for COVAX. They're going to let COVAX distribute them. This is a global organization that is designed to make sure that vaccines are shared equitably around the world. They'll be focusing on high-risk people like health workers and the elderly. And the inequality on vaccines is really striking. There are about 1.5 billion doses have already been distributed. 85% of those have just been a small number of high-income countries like here in the United Kingdom, where more than 40% of the population is already completely vaccinated. Britain has been pretty interesting. They're going to send about 10 million surplus doses over the next year. But earlier this month, they were really saying, gee, we're going to focus on vaccinating our own children. And they've taken a different tack in the last week. And part of that, I think, has to do with pressure that has been building on rich countries to just do more.
So that's the approach to the pandemic, Frank. But I wonder if China isn't the elephant in the room here. The G7 is a meeting of the world's wealthiest countries, but it does not include China, the world's second largest economy.
Exactly. These are, of course, all democracies. And China's going to be the country people talk about the most behind closed doors, and you're not going to hear about much publicly. And the reason for that, Peter, is they're very different views on China. President Biden has been very clear. His opinion on China has really been changing. He sees the country as a systemic rival, challenging democracy. He's looking for coalitions here, and when he moves on to NATO, who will be able to help challenge China on things like cybersecurity, intellectual property rights, human rights in Xinjiang, and protecting democracy in Hong Kong. Some European partners, they're not sold on all of this. They still want to be able to take advantage of trade and investment opportunities with China, and they also don't want to return to sort of this East-West Cold War model. They want to have a better relationship.
I see. Well, there has been a lot of talk about the United States being back at the world table. This is a phrase that President Biden has used several times, actually, probably a dig at the former president and his relationship with U.S.
allies.
We heard that piece of tape there from Boris Johnson talking about a special relationship between the U.S. And the U.K. Are you getting the sense there that some of those wounds have healed?
I think it's just a very different vibe. I covered the last summit, G7, back in Biarritz in France in 2019. And at that time, Donald Trump was the center of attention. He was opposing the allies on climate change. They wanted him to end a trade war with China. And sometimes, to be perfectly honest, they treated him sort of like an awkward relative working around him. Biden, of course, is much more aligned with these leaders here on issues like climate, and they seem very happy to see him. And the greetings were more relaxed today. People were walking up Carbis Bay. It's a beautiful beach here in Cornwall, and bumping their elbows. And when First Lady Jill Biden, when she arrived, she said she felt like she was at a destination wedding.
Well, G7 wraps up on Sunday. Then the president's going to go to Brussels for that NATO meeting. But before he leaves England, he's going to visit the Queen of England, Elizabeth. Is that a purely ceremonial visit? What do we know about that?
I mean, it's a ceremonial visit because she's, of course, the head of state. She's not supposed to deal with politics at all. That's one of the ways that she keeps her job as queen, frankly. But a little bit of a surprise today is actually the queen is already here. I don't think we really knew that this was happening until the last day or so. She's here for a reception, along with other members of the royal family who are going to be meeting with the G7 leaders. And this is a classic case, I think, of the UK deploying one of its best soft power assets, the queen. And then Sunday, before the Bidens head off to Brussels, they will stop at Windsor for tea. This is the Queen's home outside of London. It's a beautiful spot along the Thames. And it's also, as people will probably remember, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were married there not so long ago.
Yeah. In a word, I've just got 20 seconds. In a word, what's the headline you're looking for out of NATO?
I think NATO is Biden is looking for help on China. And I think the question is, what can NATO do? It was designed to, you know, battle the Soviet Union, protect Europe. China's a long way away. It's a big economy. Yeah. It's a challenge.
NPR's Frank Langfitt, thank you so much.
Great to talk, Peter.